TED Audio Collective.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. Richard III was the last English king killed in battle, and the location of his burial remained an unsolved mystery from the 1400s until very recently. Dr. Turi King is a geneticist, and today she tells the incredible story of how her team located the late king's definitive resting place.
Right, so I'm Turi King, and I'm going to be taking you on a bit of a whistle-stop journey through our journey, which was solving a 500-year-old cold case. So, Richard III, why is he so interesting? Well, he was only King of England for 2 years, from 1483 to 1485. And he was the last King of England to die in battle. When he was killed, he was laid out in a church for a couple of days, presumably so people could see he was actually dead. And then he was taken and buried in the choir of the Church of the Grey Friars in Leicester. Now, 1538, Henry VIII has a few domestic issues, and you get the dissolution of the monasteries. And this is where the precise location of Richard's grave starts to become lost. So what are we actually looking for? Well, we know he's supposed to be in the choir of the Church of the Grey Friars. He's age 32 at the time of his death, and we know that he died in battle, so he's probably got battle injuries. Now, he's possibly a hunchback with a slight build, and a lot of this can be laid at Shakespeare's door, who calls him a bunchback toad. But if you look at the contemporary sources, so people who actually knew him, you've got John Rouse, who talks about him having unequal shoulders, the right higher and the left lower. So going into the project, we really had five main aims. The first was, can we actually find the Franciscan Friary buildings? If we can do that, can we work out which bits we've actually found? If we can do that, can we find the church, and more specifically, the choir within the church? And finally, can we find the remains of Richard III? And we attached a set of probabilities to these. So, the site of the Grey Friars precinct has never been lost. It's the land that was bought after the dissolution of the monasteries and has later been developed. And what you can do is something known as map regression, and this gives us a search area. So if you do long, thin trenches running north-south, hopefully you'll cross some main walls and you'll start to be able to work out where you actually are. You know, try not to hit sewage pipes and things like this. So the 25th of August, 2012, 527 years to the day when Richard was buried, we're starting to put our trenches in. And as you expect, you start to find these Victorian outbuildings, and we find this little bit of leg bone. And so Matthew Morris, our site director, has a quick look, because how do we know it's not just disarticulated little bit of bone? And he has a quick feel, and he realizes there's actually an articulated skeleton under there. Now, what are you going to find in a friary site? You're going to find lots and lots of skeletons. Archaeologists do not go digging up skeletons left, right, and center. You have to get a license from the Ministry of Justice. From the size of this room, it's starting to look like we might have found the chapter house. So at this point, we're all extremely excited because we think we've found the medieval friary. Little do we know, we've actually already found Richard, and he's just sitting over there waiting for us to come and get him. So let's go back to skeleton one. This is Jo actually excavating. And she's, you know, very, very professional. She's excavating away, and she kind of sees injuries on the head and youngish male. And she's kind of working from the outside in, and she's trying to follow the spine up in a straight line from the pelvis up to the skull. And what she's finding is that it goes off in a curve. And she said the hair on the back of her neck went up as she realized what she was looking at. We have got a youngish male, severe battle injuries, severe scoliosis of the spine. It looks like somebody was in the grave to receive the body because the legs are nice and straight, but the grave is bath-shaped. It's not got 90-degree sides like it should do. So it's like he's in a very high-status part of the church, but they've done it in a bit of a hurry, which is why his head is up in a bit of an unusual position. He had a lot of wounds on him. He had 11 wounds, 9 of which were around the head. So the evidence so far is looking pretty darn good. We have got a youngish male in the choir of the Church of the Grey Friars. The skeletal evidence looks good. Radiocarbon dates come back right, 1450 to 1540, so nicely bracketing when Richard was killed. Stable isotope data is showing that he's got a high status diet. So that's looking great. Now, obviously, in this day and age, you can add DNA evidence to the pot. But this DNA analysis is completely reliant on the genealogical research. On its own, just looking on the DNA, it doesn't tell me who it is. I need to have a relative to compare the DNA to. Now, Richard had no known living descendants, so are there any relatives kicking around? It's been suggested that there are between 1 and 17 million people who are alive today who are descendants of Richard's immediate family, and I think most of them have emailed me by now. But actually, for genetic analysis, you cannot use just any old piece of DNA. And that's because the vast majority of our DNA is a very, very complex mixture of that of our ancestor. And I can't use it for this sort of identification purposes. I need to use two pieces of DNA that are passed down through the generations in a very simple way. These are mitochondrial DNA and the Y chromosomes. So if I can find somebody who's related to Richard through the male line, I can look at their Y chromosome type, see if it matches the skeleton. Mitochondrial DNA, small circular piece of DNA, it's in the egg. So it's passed down by mom to all of her children, but only daughters can pass it on. So again, if I can find somebody who's alive today, who's related to Richard through the female line, you can have boys at either end of that chain, as long as it's girls all the way through, I can look at their mitochondrial DNA, see if it matches the skeletal remains. Now, we already knew about one of these people before the project even started. This is Michael Ibsen, and he's Canadian like me. Doing modern DNA, very, very straightforward. I just need to get a DNA sample, cheek sample, anything like that. That's completely fine. And I can do the DNA analysis anywhere I like. And it was done here at the University of Leicester. Ancient DNA is a completely different kettle of fish. Our DNA, after death, is starting to degrade. Tinier and tinier fragments, shorter and shorter little fragments. All you need to do is breathe on the remains, and you're dumping huge amounts of your nice, healthy DNA, and it's going to swamp out any signal of the ancient DNA. So this is Joe and I, and we're excavating in our rather sexy CSI gear with face masks and all this sort of stuff. And this is me doing the work in one of the labs. Again, it doesn't show you all the work that goes into this because you have to kind of put all the pieces together like a jigsaw puzzle. But again, on top of everything else, the DNA evidence as well is pointing to these being the remains of Richard III. The one thing we wanted to do was a Bayesian statistical analysis. And this is essentially what they do in forensic cases, where you basically take all of the strands of evidence together. This is a missing persons case. How likely is it that you're going to find someone whose remains are found in the choir of the Church of the Grey Friars, where Richard was last seen, and they match all of the strands of evidence that we know about him purely by chance? It's not actually Richard, it's somebody purely by chance. So you have to ask yourself, how likely are you going to find a male aged 30 to 34 and have multiple battle injuries, and have scoliosis, and so on, right? Radiocarbon dates. Stable isotope analysis showed he had high status, but then he's in a high status part of the church, so that's a bit circular. So if you do that calculation, and you go, what's the likelihood of this being not being Richard? It's somebody purely by chance. It's 6.7 million to one. That translates to 99.999% that these are the remains of Richard. So the evidence is overwhelming that these are the remains of Richard III, which is just as well, because he's now in the cathedral under a socking great stone, isn't he? So he's been found.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Leicester, England. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Leicester. Want to listen to the full talk? Find Turi's talk and more at ted.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening and see you next time.